Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, what a pleasure it is. Hour two, we are live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. By the way, Joy Taylor's radio show on Fox Sports Radio debuted this weekend. She overbooked it, of course, because Joy never stops working. She doesn't sleep, except for an occasional trip to Italy. She works nonstop. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And your brother was on it. Liv Mooge is on it.
She was great. She won me some money. Thank you, Liv.
She had Arizona?
She had Arizona and Steelers. She also had the under in the Giants-Broncos game, but as I told her, she's a wild girl. I can't do the unders. I have enough anxiety. I can't watch a game rooting for no points.
You know, it was really funny. What was the one thing I said in the preseason? There was one thing I could not unsee. And I know the preseason's a lot of nonsense.
Giants offensive line.
I said, Giants offensive line. I can't unsee that. It's so bad. Like, there's nothing you can do. Daniel Jones fumbled. The Giants O-line is so bad, you cannot win in this league. You cannot be a player. I don't care what else you do. You cannot win in this league consistently with Joe Judge could be good. They got a great D-line. I love their running back. The Giants O-line's the worst in the league.
Yeah, it's when you have a young quarterback, I just feel like that should be your primary focus. It's not the sexy way to build a team.
It's what the Chargers did with Herbert.
Yeah, it's not going to get the fans up out of their seats because it's just not We don't talk about offensive lines, but it's just where do you even start when you don't have a good offensive line?
I always say it's like baseball. You can do a lot of things wrong. You got to have a bullpen. Because you get to playoff baseball, you can't give up runs in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning. You can't win a World Series with a bad bullpen. You cannot be a great football team with a bad O-line. You can be great everywhere. Bad O-line, eventually, you'll face a decent. Pittsburgh took apart Buffalo yesterday.
And they don't have a bad O-line.
Yeah, it's okay. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above, and here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Shocker, distracted, noisy, moody Aaron Rodgers and the Packers were awful yesterday. In fact, of all the teams in the NFL, they scored the fewest points. Think about that. Aaron Jones, Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur, worst offense in the league. And this is a rebuilding Saints defense. Maybe Aaron could stop discussing his offseason and his moods and how it's landing for him. Just go play, dude. No touchdowns, two picks, didn't look prepared, noisy off seasons. Seattle's was noisy for about 2 weeks. Green Bay is still talking about Aaron, still discussing how this all lands for me. Get over yourself.
Where Colin was wrong.
I don't think I've ever had a winning week. Week one of Blazing 5. 2 and 3, we had the Steelers plus 6.5. And we did have the Panthers, barely won that. I apologize for the Lions pick. There are two teams I will never bet again, Detroit and Atlanta. And I cannot believe I doubted Justin Herbert. My apologies to the Herbert family. He is great.
Where Colin was right.
It's amazing how effective Sam Darnold is when, you know, he has weapons and a run game and can play with an occasional lead. Darnold wasn't great, but he went 24 of 35, 280 yards, one touchdown, no picks, rushing touchdown, and a passer rating of 102. Sam doesn't throw the prettiest ball. Zach Wilson throws a prettier ball. Sam has his flaws. Sometimes he plays quarterback like a linebacker, but he's a really talented kid. And when you don't ask him to be the entire life preserver and you just ask him to be a really important oar in the boat, he's a good player who can make plays. And he played with a lead. It's funny, little protection, little run game. Who wins games in this league?
Where Colin was wrong.
Did the Philadelphia Eagles look as good and as buttoned up as almost any team in the league? I got to give Nick Sirianni credit. He maybe batted a microphone. Jalen Hurts, totally in control. I thought they came in with an offensive and defensive game plan. I mean, they really look buttoned up. Some of that has to be coaching influenced. Listen, I said, I think I have a verbal bias. If you're bad at the microphone, I judge you too harshly. But I watch them play, and I'm like, I don't know. Kind of a decent football team. I will say this. We did say their tight end group is really good. And between Devontae Smith, the rookie receiver, and the kid they drafted out of TCU, Rigger, a couple years ago, they got speed at wide receiver. Their O-line is healthy. It looks like a fairly productive offense.
Where Colin was right.
We told you that Miami-New England, it's literally the same team facing one another. And if you watch that game, and I did, it was literally mirror images of each other. The quarterbacks, Mac Jones was okay. Touchdown, no picks efficient. Tua was okay. Had a touchdown, had a pick, made one bad throw. The coaching styles, the defenses, the special teams, the excellent corners. The difference is Miami has got a little more juice and speed on the outside. But I said, New England this year is going to look like Miami last year. Not good enough to win the Super Bowl. Good enough to wild card team, get to the playoffs, maybe win a playoff game. I thought yesterday, I don't even know. I don't think necessarily the better team won. And I don't think the worst team lost. And I think if they played 10 times, they'd split them right down the middle at 5-5. And that's what you saw yesterday.
Where Colin was wrong.
Listen, Andy Dalton, it's not going to work. He's not enough juice. Listen, I thought, listen, start a veteran. Don't put a rookie in the crosshairs of SoFi Stadium and Aaron Donald. And, you know, Andy can play under control. But if you look at the quarterback chart where he throws the ball, everything's underneath. Nothing over 12 yards. And Chicago, guess what? They need juice. And also, this is not a championship team. This is not like the Niners who are going back and forth. That's a Super Bowl roster. Don't screw around in the NFC West. Like, win games. Garoppolo's been here. Chicago's not a Super Bowl team. And when you watched it last night, watch how the Bear players reacted to the Justin Fields touchdown. Like they want him to play. Can't fool the players.
Where Colin was right.
I've been saying this for years. Aggressive wins. The SEC is the most aggressive college football conference. They're stealing your teams. They're stealing your girlfriends. The NFC West has the most aggressive GMs in the league. Yesterday, the Niners, the Cardinals, Seattle won convincingly on the road. The Rams won convincingly at home. All these teams, they don't have first-round picks. They give up their first-round picks. They go make massive trades. They get J.J. Watt. They get Matt Stafford. They get... These are the most aggressive teams, arguably, in the NFL. They're all in the same division. Yesterday is a great example of something I preach constantly. Aggressive wins in sports. Dana White, UFC. We're going to go Retton Island. Middle of COVID. We're going to go Retton Island. Aggressive wins. You're going to get blowback on Twitter. There's going to be criticism if it fails. Four of the most aggressive teams, all in the same division, all looked spectacular yesterday.
Where Colin was wrong.
That Jaguar situation was not great. 10 penalties, 3 turnovers. Urban Meyer is known in college as a turnaround specialist, but they were completely unraveled. They trailed 34-7 at one point to Houston. I'll say this. Tyrod Taylor and David Culley have been in this league for a long time, and it's week one. And so Urban Meyer, a lot of this is, I'm not sure exactly what we're going to be and what it's going to be like. And Trevor Lawrence had some nice throws. I'll say this. Trevor's really talented. That's not the question. But as we've said from the beginning, this is a rebuild. Outside a wide receiver, every other unit, and to be down 34-7 to the Texans is concerning.
Where Colin was right.
Finally, the one AFC team I was really concerned about was the Tennessee Titans, and they were boat raced at home. Listen, young quarterbacks need coordinators. Arthur Smith, I don't know if he'll be a great head coach, but he was a great coordinator, and Tannehill doesn't have him. I think their secondary is weak. They can't quite get the offensive line right. Arizona at one point led 24-6. The final score is not indicative of the game. It was never competitive. This was the one good team the last 2 years, and we know this happens every year. There's four new playoff teams every year. I said the one team that's been really good for the last several years I just don't buy is Tennessee. By the way, they have the fewest returning starters in the NFL. And in week one, they have new coordinators. It really showed. Maybe they're better October, but they struggled. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Well, he was a great one, a three-time Pro Bowler, a number one pick, 15 years in the NFL. Carson Palmer now joining us live. First of all, I got to give Joe Burrow credit. I got to say this. Coming off an injury, Carson, is hard. It's hard to get back on that bike. And I'll tell you what, he's a gamer. There's a something about him. And just you know, you've had injuries. That first game back, live bullets, is tough. I thought Joe Burrow, as you could kind of guess, was a total gamer yesterday.
He looked great. He was really smart with the ball. He didn't put himself or his team in any bad situations. And then at the end of the game, when he had to make the big throws and the big plays, he was able to make them. So, I mean, there's a lot been talked about this Bengals team and this offensive line. If the offensive line continues to protect Joe and he doesn't have to beat you with his feet and he can throw the ball and distribute it to all the playmakers he has, that's when this Bengals team is at their best.
You know, it's interesting. Cleveland lost, but I felt, Carson, there are traits that I think that wear well in the NFL. If you have a good O-line and you can run downhill and control clock and tempo, you can make a guy like Patrick Mahomes be a spectator for large chunks of the game. And I thought Cleveland lost, but my takeaway was that team's going to lead a lot of people, and they're not going to have to face Mahomes and Arrowhead. I thought the most impressive losing team yesterday, maybe by far, was Cleveland. Your takeaway on that performance in that game?
Well, and if you look at Cleveland's defensive line, I mean, they've got two number one picks at defensive end in Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett. So they are built to play with a little bit of a lead and make you have to throw it. And it didn't work. I mean, the thing that jumped out to me is Baker Mayfield is exactly what we've all been saying he is. He's a really good quarterback. Is he great? Is he good enough to put that team on his shoulders and go out and win game in, game out, week in, week out? I don't know yet. I think that's the biggest question this year, is that they're in this position in Cleveland where they have to decide, are they going to extend Baker Mayfield's contract? They've given him everything he could want. He's got not only one great running back, he's got two. He's got an offensive line. They've got some playmakers on the back end of the secondary, and they can rush the passer and play with the lead and force you to have to drop back and deal with those two defensive ends. But at the end of the day, it was just drastic. It was the difference between Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes is stark. I mean, you look at that team that Baker's got, that team is built to make a Super Bowl run. We'll see as the season progresses if Baker's good enough to win a Super Bowl.
Listen, I don't want to take too much from week one, but there's a saying in sports that players, you know, will win the offseason. They'll win in the offseason. Teams will win in the season. So, you know, the sins of the summer, you'll be paid in the fall. You know, Russell Wilson and Aaron both had issues with their organizations. And because they're both expensive, Carson, there's not much the Seahawks could do, and there's not much Green Bay could do, right? They had to, you know, they re-signed Aaron Jones in Green Bay. They went and drafted a wide receiver. Seattle got Gabe Jackson. They got him a better tight end and offensive coordinator. But in the end, when you're paying your quarterback a lot of money, there's limitations on moving the deck chairs. But the difference to me was Russell appreciated it and quickly pivoted to working his butt off and getting ready for the opener. And I know everybody loves Aaron, but he's brooding about this thing. He talked about it up until last week. And I watched yesterday Green Bay, and I think to myself, that just didn't look right. That didn't look right at all. And there's a difference between a loss, Cleveland lost, and that. Something doesn't sit well when I watch Green Bay. They're too talented to be the worst offense in the league, even if it's a game. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are the quarterback is hard. Playing quarterback is extremely difficult, even if you are Aaron Rodgers. But when you bring on all this criticism and all the doubt and you're asking for a trade and demanding certain things in the front office, that's just a lot for you to have to deal with throughout training camp, going into week two after an embarrassing loss. It's something that your teammates have to deal with and constantly get asked questions about. You know, is Aaron happy? What do you think the organization needs to do to get Aaron happy? And just all those things that your teammates are constantly burdened with in every press conference and every open locker room where the media is available. And Aaron looked uncomfortable. He looked uncomfortable from the first quarter to the fourth quarter. He never settled his feet. He never just dropped back and ripped the ball into a seam or a nice long completion. Everything looked challenging. Everything looked different. And I just think the offseason he's gone through, the training camp he's gone through, all the questions, you know, all the stuff he's got going in his personal life, those things can burden you. Those things can weigh you down. And Aaron looked like he had, you know, cement boots on at times. Something was holding him back and holding him down. And, you know, at the end of the day, he is Aaron Rodgers. He will shake this rust off. He will come back and play great. He'll probably end up going to the Pro Bowl and throw for 38 touchdowns and 5,000 plus yards. But he just looked uncomfortable. He looked burdened by a long offseason. And, you know, that like I said, I think that'll wear off and week two will be a different story. But, you know, all that talk that was going on in Seattle, that only lasted for maybe a month.
Yep.
And then Russ was happy, and Russ looked happy. Russ looked like he was having fun. And then it's the polar opposite for watching that Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers looked miserable and uncomfortable all day.
Really great stuff. Carson Palmer joining us, the former Pro Bowl quarterback. You know, it's interesting. I could say that you and Matt Stafford have some similarities. You come out, your number one picks, huge arm talents. Even when you were losing early in your career, people said, it's the organization. It's Cincinnati. It's Detroit. And then finally, you guys have to move, and it's like, oh, this is what a winning culture's like. Oh, they spend money. And I watched Matt Stafford yesterday, and I thought to myself, what a wonderful break in life. I can move anywhere I want mostly in my career. Quarterbacks, the better you are, you get drafted to the worst team. And that's where pro sports is totally unfair. You know, and it's like, take me to your career when you finally got a lead, support, a run game. Because I watched Stafford last night, and I'm like, oh my God, this is a brand new life for Matt Stafford.
And it's immediate. It's not like the light bulb turned on for Matt Stafford in SoFi Stadium in, you know, midway through the third quarter last night. Matt Stafford felt a difference in the organization from day one. So Matt's probably just been licking his chops to get to week one since he got there. It's a totally different environment. You got a coach that you completely trust. You got an organization that you know is willing to do what it takes to go out and get a Jalen Ramsey and re-sign an Aaron Donald and just, you know, bring DeSean Jackson in. And, you know, he's been feeling as good as he looked last night since he got to LA, since he started putting on number nine of that uniform. I mean, this is not new. This didn't just happen overnight. We all saw it as fans last night. Matt Stafford was fist pumping and smiling and ecstatic.
Yep.
Head, you know, slapping the helmets of teammates. We haven't seen him do that in Detroit because there hasn't been much to high five and butt slap about. Now he's with the right organization, the right coach. And there was so much talk, you know, there's so much misdirection in this offense and you got to be able to throw on the run. There's all these bootlegs. Matt looked as comfortable as any quarterback outside the pocket last night. I mean, I think he's going to thrive in this offense. The talent, the depth of talent, the offensive line play. And now he doesn't need to throw for 450 yards a night to win.
That's
right. He's got a defense that is best in the league year in, year out since Aaron Donald got there. So it's a perfect combination for Matt to thrive in that system.
You know, we were talking about this. In my lifetime, generally, either quarterbacks are pocket guys or they move and there's a deficiency. Tom's not going to run for first downs or Phillip Rivers. And, there are quarterbacks you're like, and Michael Vick would admit, like he ran too much early, didn't develop his passing game. And then I watch Russell and Kyler Murray. And I watched Kyler Murray yesterday. And it's funny, they're both baseball guys. So they're both great sliders when they run. They never get hit. And I watched Kyler Murray, and I went back to the first 10 weeks of last year, and this is a rebuilding team, and his numbers were insane, and I watched them yesterday. And as a guy that was a pocket guy, when you watch Kyler Murray, or even a Russ, do you look at it and think, oh, I would have just, because you were an athlete, but how do you view the guy that can move as well and throw?
The thing that blows my mind about Kyler's game is that he can still see when he is in the pocket. He's extremely accurate inside the pocket, and he's got a lot more arm and a lot more touch than I think any of us thought coming into the league because his sample size was so small with just 1 year at Oklahoma. And you can't see that touch ball he throws right there. You can't see how much touch a guy has until you've seen him play, not 1 year, not 2 years, but into year three and year four, and you start realizing the consistency of the touch balls that they're throwing. Kyler's got a ton of touch. He can actually see somehow, some way, he's always been short, right? He can find a way to see lanes in the pocket. And then once he gets outside the pocket, it's game over. I mean, if you can't contain him, he's going to find a way to either beat you with his feet and score touchdowns like that, or he's going to find a way to get outside the pocket, extend a play, and find somebody get open late like he did a couple times yesterday. It was like Houdini or like watching the old Russell Wilson, where he would just continue to backpedal and move, make a defender miss, and then find a nice 8 or 10 yard completion. So his ability to make plays inside the pocket has really surprised me, and his touch ball gets better and better each week.
We're so lucky to have Carson Palmer, the former Pro Bowler. I know where he lives. I'm not saying it. I wish I was there, and he's probably going to go fly fishing multiple times this week, and I'm completely jealous of him. Envy is a bad trait, but I'm envious of you, and I love you coming on the show, bud.
Thanks for having me. Come join me.
I'd love to, by the way. Carson Palmer. I mean, he really laid that Aaron Rodgers thing out. I think I love the point. Quarterback's hard. Like, don't add to it. Like, it's hard to be a quarterback in this league. You know, it's also funny. You don't think about this much because you think they're pro athletes, but how hot. Troy Aikman made a great comment yesterday. You know, Green Bay's defense was on the field. They're a northern team. You can't assimilate Jacksonville humidity. Last year, a northern team, the Colts, went down to Jacksonville, and literally, guys, players were just, it's like, what's happening? Aikman said this during the game. He circled it. He goes, Green Bay players are, they're gassed.
Yeah, it's not the heat. It's the humidity.
And then all of a sudden, and if what happens is Green Bay's D-line's getting pushed around by the Saints' O-line. And so in that first half, Green Bay's defense was just on the field. And you're like, the game is over. Like, they're done. They're going to go in at halftime. They're done. Like, it's just hard to explain. I lived in Tampa for 2 years. You cannot explain humidity in Florida in August, September to somebody that's never lived there.
No, it's,
you can't.
So you've been out at training camp. It's just unbelievable. I mean, like, I literally cover training camp just sitting under this tent, just hot, just standing there doing nothing, literally standing, watching, just being hot. And I'm like, I can't even imagine doing physical activity right now, let alone playing football.
My first live shot in Tampa, I wore a blue shirt, soaked. And the news director said, never wear a blue shirt in a live shot. Wear a white shirt.
Yeah.
I was soaking, standing. Soaking wet.
Yeah, you're doing nothing but breathing.
At a football camp and standing.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
You know, it's interesting. I want to touch on this. Sam Darnold beat Zach Wilson, and it would be easy for me to just say, told you so, because Zach was awful in the first half. But it is interesting. Zach Wilson throws a better football than Sam Darnold. That is not disputable. He throws a prettier football. His release is quicker, less mechanical. Sam's kind of as a windup. That's always been the knock on Darnold. He plays sometimes too aggressively, and he's got a bad-looking windup. It's kind of slow. Zach Wilson, it is Aaron. It is a seed, and it is beautiful. But he's small, and he's not going to have much support. And twice yesterday, he got hit and was slow to get up. Quarterback, there's a lot of things here, a lot of variables. Sam's big. He's strong. He was a linebacker. He's tough. He's coachable. He's a gamer. He can get popped. He doesn't throw a pretty football. I mean, and it's not that he doesn't. I mean, he made some nice throws yesterday. He had 102 passer rating. Sam's a playmaker. But like I said, it's about Deshaun Watson. And Deshaun's better than Sam at this point. But Deshaun doesn't throw a beautiful ball. But Deshaun's a playmaker. But he can then skip a nine-yard you know, seam, a 9 yard curl. Zach Wilson is pretty. He throws a beautiful ball. Aaron Rodgers is pretty. Big Ben's never been pretty. Brady can be pretty. It's just so soft. It's a Matt Stafford. Oh, that's beautiful. That's what the ball should look like. Zach Wilson yesterday, second half, much prettier throw over the football. Not disputable. Sam's clunky. But Sam's going to play with a lead some this year. He's got a better running game this year. He's now probably going to have a better offensive line this year. I think he has a better coach this year. It's amazing. You know, take out the one or two superstars in the league, maybe three. Take out the bottom three or four. The rest of this league is, do you have protection? Do you have a good coach? Do you have a good scheme? Do you play with a lead? It's amazing. But Darnold yesterday, you lose that game. And he missed a touchdown pass in the first half. that would lose you the game in New York. He still won the game yesterday. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Kyler Murray put on a show yesterday against the Titans. 5 total touchdowns and the Cardinals dominating 38-13 win to open the season. He now has 50 career touchdowns and 16 rushing touchdowns. He joins Dante Culpepper as the only players in NFL history with 50 or more touchdown passes and 15 or more rushing touchdowns in their first 33 games.
That was really? That's an interesting stat.
Chandler Jones had a career-high 5 sacks on Ryan Tannehill, so he had himself a day as well. This was a really impressive
win for the Titans. Titans had 2 new coordinators, and essentially Arizona brought everybody back and then added some good pieces. So I'll tell you what, Kyler made a throw to DeAndre Hopkins in the back of the end zone. That was filthy. It may have been the best single play by both Hopkins and Kyler. Kyler is sprinting right, throws back. I mean, they gave you the aerial view from the end zone, and you're like, okay, I don't understand that. That doesn't make any sense. I will tell you, they got about 6 guys on this roster that are stars, and that's usually my Super Bowl. I know, it's crazy.
It's the only thing working against the Cardinals that is obvious. Now, obviously, it's a very long season, so we'll learn what the holes are right with all of these teams that won, yes, especially convincing yesterday. But it's their division.
You know, no. If you, I'll give you an example.
They're the best team in most divisions.
If you put them in the NFC North with Detroit, Chicago, Green Bay, I would make the argument they have the 6 best players for Arizona. Kyler. These are elite players. Chandler Jones. DeAndre Hopkins. J.J. Watt. Isaiah Simmons, Buda Baker. I mean, and Isaiah Simmons isn't there yet, but is a complete baller. Does Green Bay have 6 guys? If you just went 6-on-6, and my Super Bowl theory has always been, to win a Super Bowl, you've got to have 6 elite players. Seattle's got it. Rams have it. And I watch Arizona. I do not know what to do with them because I think they could win outright. Like, I'll give you an example. The AFC South. Jags, Texans, Colts. Yeah. I think Arizona could win that division.
I think they would win they would win the NFC East.
By the way, Texas A&M could win other college football conferences. They'll probably finish 4th in the SEC. So I don't know what to do with Arizona. There's so much I like.
They're cannibalized by the division that they're in.
Completely. So I watched them yesterday. I'm like, if they finish 12-5, would I be shocked? No. By the way, when they weren't this good, they gave the Super Bowl Niners and the Seahawks everything they could handle.
Yeah, they had a nice season. It's just the division. They were really impressive yesterday. And I mean, Kyler Murray, we knew Kyler Murray was capable of playing like this. But I'm trying to not. It's so much fun to overreact to week 1.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to not.
But
there was enough there to see that they're going to. And I felt like they were going to have a nice season anyway. It's just the division is impossible.
But when you watch that game and it's 24-6, you're like, did I match? Because I have them at 8-9, and it wasn't because I mean, last year they were 8-8, and I was like, I think they're good, but I think the Rams are better, the Seahawks are better, and the Niners are better. What do I do with them? I don't have the answer. We'll find out in a month. I don't know what to do with Arizona.
I don't either, but it was a fun game and fun to watch. So Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence, the era began yesterday. Didn't get off to a great start. Although I don't know what everyone necessarily expected from Jacksonville. Like, everyone's kind of piling on Urban and Trevor Lawrence today. And it's like, I didn't expect it to be 37-21, but I expected the Texans to win this game and look competent.
The betting, the bettors, the sharps in Vegas loved Houston yesterday. It's one of they call them like disgusting bets.
Yeah.
Like you're betting awful team.
There was no way I was going near this.
Houston, a lot of the sharps, I wouldn't touch it because I'm not a sharp. I'm a square. The sharps loved Houston yesterday.
That makes sense. To your point, Cully and Tyrod Taylor have been in the league for a long time. They do have some veterans on that team. This is a total rebuild for Jacksonville. Obviously, we know Houston's not going to be a good team this year, but against Jacksonville, they looked very competent. Like, they did what they were supposed to do, to me. And Urban Meyer was not happy with some of the mistakes that he saw his team make.
It's inexcusable, the things that need to be fixed. And, you know, 3 preseason games, you think we'd have that fixed. So that's something that we're going to, I would guesstimate you would not see that again. You know, that's inexcusable.
This was Trevor Lawrence's first regular season loss ever. High school, college, and the NFL.
Let me say this. No Purdue on this schedule. You can say it's inexcusable. I don't like Urban's offensive coaching hires. So he went and got Brian Schottenheimer. He went and got journeyman guys in the NFL that have bounced around the league. So I could make the argument his offensive choices were inexcusable. Like, you got to be careful about real punitive opinions. This is not a great offensive staff. I'll make you a prediction. By next year, there'll be a major move on that offensive staff. So you're not giving Trevor Lawrence, you're not giving him Arthur Smith, the coordinator, right, or Kyle Shanahan or McVay, or Matt LaFleur as the coordinator. I don't like the Jags' offensive staff at all. They're bounce around the NFL guys.
And that's the opinion of a lot of people about this
staff. Well, just if you look at their histories, it's not they're bad guys. I'm not saying they can't coach, but they're guys that have been let go by elite organizations. They couldn't get it done there.
Well, Trevor Lawrence was 28 of 51, so that's not sustainable either. Hit 332 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. It was a messy game for Jacksonville. And again, I expect nothing from this Jacksonville team this year except for to see some glimpses of culture building and Trevor Lawrence to get better as the season goes
on. Can you lose close in the last 6 to 7 games?
Yeah.
Are you losing close?
Of the season is going to be rough.
Yeah.
But as the season progresses, is Trevor Lawrence looking more and more competent, like making less mistakes, and do they look like they're establishing a culture? Expecting anything else from that from Jacksonville is just unrealistic at this point. So Joe Burrow was back in his first regular season game since his devastating injury last season.
No, I didn't DM him last. I should have DM'd my friend. My bad. Go ahead. I'm sorry. We usually DM each other after big wins. It's totally my bad.
He threw for 261 yards and 2 touchdowns in an overtime win over Minnesota.
Ja'Marr Chase.
I know.
Ah, he looked good.
He did look good.
Boom.
Look, a little influence on personnel. Just a slight amount of influence from your quarterback can help. He had 5 catches, 101 yards, and a touchdown.
Look at this.
You know, he recommended him.
Beautiful.
And it worked out.
Oh.
He was sacked 5 times.
I know. Bad O-line. Not a fan of that. But you know what? Minnesota's got a good defense. I mean, Minnesota can play. Minnesota's a good team.
They had a lot of injuries last year.
Yeah,
I don't think that they're going to be great this year, but they did have a ton of injuries last year. He didn't shake his confidence, though. They did march down the field and set up the game-winning field goal, 27-24 in overtime.
Did you hear what Burrow said at the press conference?
No.
He walked to the press because Ja'Marr Chase did press conference, got up and left, and Joe Burrow sat down and he goes, I thought all I did was drop the ball. Well, that was interesting. Because remember Ja'Marr Chase, first week of training camp.
Oh, yeah, he said it was.
Burrow goes, I thought all he did was drop the ball. Okay, first question.
He did have a rough training camp. That's good. It's good. Give him a little shout-out. Joe Mixon also had 29 carries for 127 yards and a touchdown, so you like to see that as well. Again, like, this is a rough division for Cincinnati to be trying to make headway in, but you like that game yesterday. It was a tough win.
That's
overtime.
That's a great win for Cincinnati.
Yes.
At the stage of where they're at, that could be a win.
It's a win you build on.
There's no question. That win doesn't mean anything to a Baltimore.
Right. Or
for Cincy, that's great.
It was.
Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live
I got some thoughts on the Bears and what to do there. Also, did I make a major mistake in my NFL predictions? We're going to look back. I have a question. That's next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This weekend on Fox, start Saturday strong with the big noon kickoff pregame show at 10 a.m. Eastern, live from Norman. Then at noon Eastern, dual threat Adrian Martinez leads Nebraska against Spencer Rattler and third-ranked Oklahoma. A huge big noon Saturday begins at 10 a.m. Eastern 7 a.m. Pacific on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
By the way, how about Oregon? Oh, my God. Went into the horseshoe.
Oh, my God.
It's like,
what a game.
Wow. And by the way, Mario Cristobal, a lot of people at Oregon, they know he has a presence. They know he can recruit. There's a lot of questions about how come they can't win big road games. They totally controlled that football game. And the Oregon staff, tip of the cap. They were playing chess. They had Ohio State on their heels. They were fast. They were physical. They're coaching. They had a 4th-and-1 call late that was so clever. Oregon and UCLA, it's nice to have some physical football back on the West Coast.
It's really, I know, you know, Ohio State fans and Clemson fans don't want to hear this, but it's good for college football.
Yeah, it, folks.
Just a little bit of parody.
A little.
Just a sprinkle.
There's a lot of people out here. L.A., yes. You've heard of it. Colorado, Denver, Seattle. Be nice if people out here, like, cared about the sport. It matters. Yeah. It was just, Oregon looked great. So, listen, I was an Andy Dalton guy. Listen, I always start Andy for a week or two. Just get this thing right. And then, you know, I watched last night. And, you know, my takeaway is, this is Chicago's not a Super Bowl roster. It's also not a great division. And, you know, my takeaway is maybe it's just time. I mean, Andy Dalton's completing nothing over 7 yards. Maybe it's just time. It's different with San Francisco. So San Francisco wants to be very careful about Trey Lance. Number one, Garoppolo's better than Andy Dalton. Number two, that division's way better. You can't screw around and experiment. Number three is the Niners have a Super Bowl roster. Chicago doesn't. Their offensive line's bad. Their secondary, they had to get rid of Kyle Fuller. He's in Denver now. Their secondary's not very good. It's not a Super Bowl roster. I mean, it's just not. It's not a Super Bowl roster. Then you can experiment. I tell my kids this all the time. Take high school seriously. Get great grades. Get a 4-point or better. Because that's more important than your college grades. Nobody cares what your GPA is unless you're like a doctor. I'm like, in college, go have fun. Go to a party. Go to the football games. Be stupid. It's okay. High school, get it buttoned up. Do your homework. And then I kind of look the same way. Like San Francisco, that's high school right now. You can't mess around in that division. There are no Sundays off in that division. You're facing the Rams. You're facing you're facing Seattle. You're facing Arizona. In this division, maybe they're just better off just going with Justin Fields. Well, it's not the difference between Super Bowl and not. It's not the difference between a one seed and a set. It doesn't matter. And you're watching them last night, and the way the Bear players reacted, and this is also a worse offensive line than I thought. It's like really bad. So maybe go with a kid that can move. To me, I watched them last night, and I thought it was going to be a very close game. Matt Nagy's a great September coach. It was not bad for a half, but, I mean, they just can't do anything. They've got no juice offensively, and the offensive line is bottom 3 or 4 in the league. They're a joke at left tackle. Maybe it's just better going with a kid. Why not? He's going to have bad losses, hiccups, ugly moments, ugly halves. You're not going from a 1 seed to a 7. You're not going to make the playoffs. This is not a very good football team. I have doubts about the front office. I like Nagy. That's my takeaway. Here's Matt Nagy after.
No, we had the plan and we stuck to our plan. We knew where and when we were going to use them, and we stuck to that. And so, we'll see where that goes and how we do it. But I think we all understand that, you know, for us, strategically, we'll see where we go with that. You know, without giving anything away.
All right. I also want to say this hour. So I make my NFL predictions in July. I get 2 amendments. And so after week 1, do I look at any of my NFL predictions and go, ooh, now I'm not talking like, is Pittsburgh 9-8 instead of 8-9? Maybe. Should I have Miami 1 game better and New England 1 game worse? I mean, I looked this morning. Do I think Buffalo's the best team in that division? Yes. I think Miami and New England, you know, maybe I should have had Miami 2nd, New England 3rd. Jets are the worst team easily. I still think Cleveland wins their division. I should have had the Steelers 9-8, not 8-9. I still think the Colts win their division. I think they run into a freight train called Russell Wilson. It's still a bad division. Maybe Houston I should have at 4 wins, not 3. I still think... by the way, it was funny. I gave Denver 1 more win, and the Giants 1 fewer win last week, and they met each other, and that was why. I said I didn't trust the Giants' O-line. And then I look at the NFC, and, you know, I feel – now, Ryan Fitzpatrick is out. Should I have them at 9-8 and the Cowboys 10? I kind of feel the same. The only real issue I have that I looked this morning and I'm like, what do I do with Arizona? I don't know. I got to tell you something, folks. I don't know. If they won 13 games, it's like, it could happen. First of all, Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt, you don't have to have a great O-line with Kyler Murray. Arizona is the one I look at and I'm like, I could be six games off with them. Everybody else, I may be a game off. I could be six games off with Arizona. I have no idea. And it's one of these, I'm just going to watch. Because I went back to the first 10 weeks of Kyler last year. You know what his numbers were? 68% completion percentage, 98.7 passer rating, 10 rushing touchdowns, 19 TDs, 8 picks. And he's better now. He's getting better every year. I may have massively underpredicted Arizona. Hour three next.